What's going on? They're on the 18th hole right now, and I just need Tyrrell Hatton to double bogey, and I'll win me another Fantasy Golf World Championship ticket. Wouldn't even be this big of a sweat if that asshole quit rolling in monster putts, but here we are. So I'm going to be watching the 18th hole while I record this, so if you see me getting tilted as balls, you'll know why. I think I'm pretty sure I got second place wrapped up, so I'll get $4,000. You'd be like, man, that's good. You won $4,000. I didn't win $4,000. I won $2,000, and I don't want $4,000, motherfather. I want a motherfather ticket. I'm trying to get three. What's up, new guy? I'm the Degenerate 75. I'm a high limit. No, I don't do that anymore. I'm a PGA DFS content creator who is here to help you get better at playing PGA DFS by helping you to stop stepping on your own dick, give you a little bit of strategy, and teach you how to play the game. And I'm not going to give you a single fucking pick. So if that sounds cool, you should come check out the schedule. I do the course preview video every Monday. I do the final word in PGA DFS for week-long strategy, a.k.a. kicking the nuts on Wednesday. And, of course, you're here for the Showdown Hoedown, which we do every Friday and Saturday night. You can count on me. Shit, I did it when I was in fucking Las Vegas. You think I won't do it when I'm sitting at home tilting balls over that little fucking hunchback Tyrrell Hatton taking all my tickets? Of course I will. Hey, if you want to know four guys who are really good at round four scoring, or if you want to hear some pick'ems that I have, wait around till the end. You can tell I just ate a little phlegmy. Sorry, guys. I have to get it out. You got to be first to market, brother. And don't forget, the big one-year anniversary is coming up. The PGA Championship will be my one-year-ago stream that I started this channel. I'll be giving away lots of money because, guy in the back, what do we always say? Okay, with that, we say that too, but we were looking for not a fucking poor. That's what we are. Okay, cool. Hey, Cut Sweats, man, you want to see something cool? You go over here to your dashboard, and like, if you ever want to know if you have it, you can just go over here to your simulations, and you see I played in the 2020 today. And a minute ago, this was saying that now I have a 100% chance of cashing. Only a 5% chance of winning. Just need one Hatton double and we're going to win. But a little bit ago, this was around 40% until Hatton started fucking rolling everything in, a little cock gobbler. But you know what? We're going to double it and I'll be right back in those streets tomorrow, because I told you guys yesterday to check out satellites. You think I'm going to tell you to do something and not do it myself? went and played a little bit. I wanted the ticket, though. Let's talk about how the course played today. I won't lie to you. I've been out golfing. For the first eight holes today, I thought I was going to have my best round ever, but they call me, just like Siwoo started out today, they call us Icarus. We just flew a little too close to the sun. All right, things we want to know. Hole by hole, how did the course play today? Played a full stroke under par. The easiest the course has played today. And that might be because they got all the slapdicks out of there who bring down the scoring average. More interesting than that is the scoring average this afternoon has been a full shot better. But you got to remember, take that with a grain of salt, most of the good players are in that afternoon wave. I don't know how much that had to do with the conditions, because those conditions were pretty ripe for scoring from about 10 to 2. Now, Wyndham Clark, he's a different story, right? If you don't know this, Wyndham in Gaelic means God among men. A lot of people don't know that. I don't know. I just made that shit up. Here's a Hatton from the bunker, by the way. I'm watching him right now. Oh, he's hitting sand. Do something stupid. Get in the water. I don't know. He just, oh, wait, it didn't go anywhere? Did he fucking, oh, shit, he clipped the bunker. Went like 10 yards in front of him. Let's go, you little hunchback. Melt the fuck down. Sorry. I want a ticket. I want three. I had a goal to get three tickets. I'm after him. Hey, don't forget, Best Ball is coming up. It is back. They're doing a second Albatross over there at Underdog. It's going to be cool. I'm telling you, I'll have all the tools you need. I'll make a video for it this week, probably Tuesday. Be looking out for that. I did it for the first round, and now we have all those strategies. We'll implement them again, and there's a huge edge because people are like, I think I'm going to take this guy in the third round. Hey, dipshit, he's not even qualified for the tournament. All right, let's look at weather. They're in Quail Hollow. If you don't know that by now, on Sunday, where the fuck have you been? But looking at tomorrow, it looks like it's going to be a little breezy, and it looks like it's going to be breezy all day. So I think you are going to see a higher scoring average tomorrow. I'd be very, very, very surprised if this course plays under par tomorrow. You know they're going to have Sunday flags, which traditionally means that they're going to tuck them. I got to assume they're going to put them out in twos. So by the time the leaders are out there, the greens will be a little chewed up, blah, 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 right? And so and now you actually have to deal with some gust. I mean, 17-mile-an-hour gust with 12-mile-an-hour sustained all day, that ain't nothing, Bob. That ain't nothing. So I think that gives, you know, you got to factor that in when making your decision. Guys, those position points are probably going to matter a little bit more whenever you're going to have tougher scoring conditions, right? Because there's going to be fewer birdies out there. The fewer birdies they are, maybe this is a time that you start with three guys in the top 10 or four guys in the top 10. Whatever your normal number is, maybe add one guy to that and one less chaser, right? Because I don't think you're going to see a lot of guys going -6, -7, or I think -26 is what Wyndham Clark's at today. So I think that you got to use that. Now, as far as there being a weather edge, it looks like it's going to be pretty sustained all day, and the better players are going to be playing in the afternoon. So I'm basically just going to be playing the ownership game. I'm going to be playing the fuck it attitude game, guys that are going to be charging, and I'm going to get a lot of those guys that are in the second range. Oh, he had a perfect shot. Sorry, I'm still watching Hatton here, just wanting a meltdown. All right, Hatton, we just need one three-putt. He'll have that for par. We just need a three-putt. One time, you little leprechaun bitch. All right, sorry. All right, let's talk about contest tomorrow. Going over here to the lobby. I glanced at them earlier. Not great, again, DraftKings. Thanks for nothing, dicks. But at least when the big $25 tomorrow, which, by the way, don't notice, they bumped it up to 25 instead of 20, so you're paying an extra premium. It's only 25% to first, which is my absolute cutoff that I'll play in, which then makes the prizes a lot better. At least seventh tomorrow is $1,500 as opposed to, what was it yesterday, like $500? Get the fuck out of here. So I don't love it, but it is playable. It is playable. I might toss a couple in there because you don't have a lot of other great options. I love the 555 tomorrow. I might just play in that. I got a free ticket I need to burn. You can see 20% to first. I love when they do 20% to first because it makes it a really nice payout structure after that. So, if you want to play $500 tomorrow, you might be better tossing one in this. The $200 single entry, only $15,000. I mean, I wish it was just a little bit more. Just bump that up to 20 and I'd be pretty okay with that. They dropped the $100 single entry back down. Not sure what the fuck that's about. The big $5 that everybody loves, at least they got it back up to $5,000 for first. But notice that is, 22% of all of the money going to first place. Don't love that. I like that because it's typically more flat. And, of course, my baby is back, and they bumped it up to $20,000. So I would say playing this. The $10 18 max, $2,000 up top, that's only 10%. You know I love that. So the contests are better tomorrow, but they're not as good as they should be for round four with all these studs. Once again, DraftKings, whenever it's all filled up by 11 o'clock tonight, I'm going to tweet some fucking venom shit at them just saying, quit being huge pussies, you huge pussies. Okay. By the way, I have a good relationship with DraftKings. Okay. You know why I chase these tickets? Because DraftKings does it right on these fucking tickets. Speaking of which, if you want to go play in some satellites, oh shit, they got a 920 up tomorrow. You know my ass going to be in that bad boy. I'll be in that one for sure. But there's some good satellites up, man. There's a really good time to chase satellites, but please hear me on this. Chasing those Fantasy Golf World Championship tickets is a fucking cesspool of trying, like, if you're trying to do bankroll management and preserve your money, do not be playing in for these. Okay, this is if you have a lot of money or you've hit something big and you want to chase some big tickets, that's when you do satellites, right? If you think that, oh, this is a sustainable way to use my money, no, it's not. You burn through money real fast going for these Fantasy Golf World Championship tickets, which, by the way, in that tournament I played today, the little the 2020 tournament, I didn't see a single big name in there, yet I saw all of them in the satellite. So I think even the big guys are getting a little burnt out because I know they got money, but they must be getting tired of chasing these at $2,000 and $4,000 a pop, because legit, you know, the five biggest names you would think that would be in there, none of them were in there. I don't know what that's up with. I don't know what's up. I saw them in satellites, so I know they were playing today, but they weren't in the big 2020. I don't know. Maybe it's because projections don't work at Showdown. I have no idea. I don't know. I'm not friends with any of those guys, so I can't ask them. Whatever. I bet surely they'll be in this 920 tomorrow. If not, I'll just go win it tomorrow. Even though I got second, let's Hatton three putts. Here's Hatton. Just blow this by 8 feet one time, you little hunchback. All right. I just need one double bogey. That's all the big guy needs. That looks pretty good. All right, we're moving on. Why do I have the stone up? We need to not have that up. Oh, that's tap in. Oh, man, he really rolled that nice. All right, so we're going to get second. $4,000. I wanted the fucking ticket, you little fucking stupid. You know what? He is like Cam Young came from his nutsack. Don't tell me those two aren't descendants of leprechauns. I think that Hatton's mother was a hunchback. Quasimodo's mother, I believe. I think that's his brother. Okay, let's talk some let's talk. I feel like I'm off here. All right, let's talk some stats. Okay, things I'm going to be looking at. I think the first thing you always have to ask yourself for round four is position points, right? You got Xander and Wyndham Clark out ahead of everybody, and they fucking played tremendous today, right? And they're both pretty good players. I'd say Wyndham Clark, definitely not as good as Xander, but you cannot look at how he's playing and not be like, damn, that guy's pretty good. And last time I checked, he's a Cowboy just like me. Oklahoma State, let's go. Go Pokes. So, things that you got to ask yourself. Who am I going to play up here, right? Who really has win equity? Because I think tomorrow with the tougher conditions, and it's probably going to play over par, I think having the winner is really important. So I think that there's really only three options that can win this motherfucker, right? I think you got Wyndham Clark, obviously. You got Xander Schauffele. And then from there, I would say, well, Hatton just bogeyed. So, you know, is he really going to catch up five strokes? I don't know. I will tell you this. Hatton a lot of times goes nuclear in round fours because he don't give a F, and that is one nice thing about him, right? But none of these guys are going to chase him down, right? So if you want to have the winner, if you think that's an essential part, I think you got to start your lineup with Wyndham or Schauffele. But I really encourage you to not do both of them, right? Because by doing that, legit something like 25-30% of all lineups tomorrow will begin Clark and Xander. And I just think that's a stupid fucking build. Okay, one of them I think totally makes sense. I think you want to get one of them, and then you want to get right here in this little 3 through probably 16 range, because all these guys can easily backdoor a third or fourth place with a good round tomorrow. Not only would you get that minus four round, which I think will be a nuts type round tomorrow, but you're going to get that with all the additional bonus points that they're going to get from moving up the leaderboard, right? So I think you really got to consider that. I will have a rule tomorrow that I will probably want, something like from T16 up, I will probably want at minimum three guys in there from that, right? I might even do four. I'll have to just kind of see which players I like, but I will set it when I'm building with the optimizer. I will say I want at least three, a max of five from up here, right? That's what I'm going to be doing. By the way, I'm making all these around the assumption that they're going to be going off in twos tomorrow and not do some stupid shit where they go off in threes off 1 and 10 like they did inexplicably a week or two ago. I can't even remember. I'm still tilted balls. That was in Mexico, right? Maybe they needed to get out before the sun was down. I don't know. So, that's the first thing I'm going to consider. The next thing I'm going to consider is, like, what's the absolute cutoff that I want to do, right? A guy like Nick Hardy, when they're this far back, sometimes there can be something freeing about that, right? They can just say, fuck it, I'm going for every flag. I'm going to go after it, right? But there's also, like, they're so far back and they're playing so poorly. Like, what are the chances they're going to do it? And even if Nick Hardy does have a minus four tomorrow, he ain't going to move up and get you any bonus points. He is not moving up into the top 50, which is what you have to do to get any bonus points. So guys like that, you know, I typically tend to not get them. But these guys at even, I think that they could easily backdoor up into maybe the top 25 if they shoot a minus three, minus four tomorrow. And all these guys down here, especially a guy like Rory, is going to be underowned. I mean, if Rory is at 5%, I will be shocked. Which, by the way, I think he was like 30% today. What the fuck? I mean, people are like overplaying the pivot game now. You just pivot when everybody pivots and you're going to be back on the pivot. Fucking, that blew my mind. So I think you got to find that number, right? For me, I think even is about as low as I'm going to want to go. If you want to play a complete flyer, you see something and, you say, well, Cam Davis can go nuclear. I agree. He is a nuclear hot player. But, he's going to, even if he hits that ceiling round, he's not going to backdoor you any points. You basically are just relying on his birdies, eagles, streak, stuff like that, right? All right. And those are the big two things I'm going to consider. The next thing, any stud that spun his wheels today, I'm really on, really in on, right? Justin Thomas played a pretty mediocre round. I told you yesterday, is there a guy who comes off a good round who will let you down more? I said it yesterday. Rewind the tape, dickhead. I definitely did. Like guys like that, I hate playing Justin Thomas off. I just hate playing Justin Thomas in general, but I really hate playing him after a good round. Easy fade. Trying to see, Patrick Cantlay, another guy, like he's so far back. He was terrible with irons. I think you're going to get him at less than 7% ownership because people are going to spend their money on Xander and Wyndham and Hatton and M and Fleetwood. And none of those guys are cheap, Bob. And so that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to look at some studs that are bounced back, and I don't care that Patrick Cantlay had a bad day with his irons. Okay. Patrick Cantlay, who cares? All right, Tony Finau, another guy, spun his wheels. Those are guys that I'm going to look at. From there, I dive over into the stats. And the last thing. Guys, I'm going to fade. You think I'm going to chase a Brennan Todd minus six, a Harris English minus five round, like 99 percentile rounds from old Ropat and Trollface? I don't think so. So guys like that are coming off really hot rounds, Doug Gim playing a ceiling round, I'm just not chasing those. You can go right the fuck ahead. I don't care who you play. I'm just telling you how I think. From there, you know that the number one thing that is correlated to success is approach. It carries over from round to round more so than the other things. Yes, there's a lot of variance in showdown, but approach, I have tracked it, carries over more than the other ones. So, guys that absolutely killed it on approach today, Chad Ramey, Jesus, you ball strike and SOB. What is that? Chad Ramey is he not the worst player of all time? And then occasionally, like, wow, that guy doesn't fucking suck. Yeah, that's him. Let's see. Of course, Wyndham Clark killed it. Tom Kim ball struck the hell out of it today. He might be a sneaky one. Dude, I played rookie. You could have won me a ticket if you didn't. If he would have started playing before the back nine, we would have cashed that bitch, because I think I lost that ticket by what, like 0.2 or something like that. I just get so unlucky. I hate people that say that shit. I get plenty lucky. Let's see here. Ted Lasso, believe. Okay, let's see here. anybody else that didn't have a great... Ooh, Dylan Wu. Gotta like them irons. Tony Finau. Irons. Telling you, I mean, the guy putts like an asshole. Let's face it. Keegan, great ball striking day. Man, he almost had me around today. Every time he would tease me with a streak, he'd be like, no, no, I don't do that. All right, from there, did anybody kill themselves off the tee but generally had a solid round? Well, Justin Suh, really bad off the tee, is interesting because I'm pretty sure he's an absolute killer off the tee. So that might be something to monitor. Anybody else really bad off the tee but was good elsewhere? Ryan Palmer. All right. Ryan Palmer. Okay, Ryan Palmer is a little loosey-goosey off the tee, though. Trace Crowe. What the hell? I don't think so. Let's see. We already talked about old Dylan Wu. All right, let's see if anybody killed themselves around the green. All right, Denny McCarthy could only putt today. Man, that's a really bad round. And he still shot even. What a fucking luck sucker. I bet he rolled in like 420 footers. You know what Denny McCarthy calls rolling in 420 footers? Saturday. Just another day. Okay. Siwoo. Man, I had Siwoo today. Oh, God. He was like, he got on a heater and then he said, hey, you need a streak really bad to win this ticket. And I said, yes, I do, Siwoo. He said, watch this. And he went and got a streak. Problem was, it was a bogey streak, which on my Discord, we call the Rory. When you get three bogeys in a row, we call that a Rory streak. Okay. What else do we got? Anybody else? Dylan Wu. Man, Dylan Wu. Am I going to play that loser? Cesco Molinari. I never mind Cesco when his irons are on. So there you go. Those are some guys to consider. I think that you really want to play the game tomorrow, and it all starts with who are you going to play up top. And listen, you got to hear me on this. If you're going to play in the big $25 mo, there is a path. There is a path to fade Clark and Schauffele. There is a path, okay? I think that if you do that, you're going to want to really kind of tag this 3 through probably T10 range because you're going to, you know, you're making the assumption that these top two guys are going to kind of spin their wheels, maybe shoot a -1, -2, and yes, they'll get the bonus points, but these guys are going to go, you know, track them down shooting -5s and getting close because you got to remember, you only get, what is it, 10 points for second place in round 4 showdown, right? Whereas if one of your guys can backdoor to third, he's getting 9 points, right? So it's like, it's a really close. We're only talking 1 point difference, and if your guy shoots a -5 and Schauffele shoots a -1, your guy's gonna boat race Schauffele. Even if Clark shoots a -2 and wins this thing, I think that you can easily outscore that if you can get a bunch of guys who can move up to third, fourth, fifth and get those points. Or you get a bunch of guys that get T3. That will also get you there, right? So in big field GPPs, I think you have to be open to the idea of fading Clark and Schauffele in your lineups. I think you got to be open to it. If you're playing, you know, single entry, if you're playing smaller field shit, I think that you are likely going to want to probably pick one of these two. I think it's stupid as shit to pick both of them, but you do you, boo. Okay. But in a big field, GPPs, anything over, let's say, 2,000, I think that you, I'm not telling you to do it. I'm just saying you got to be open to the idea, at least in some of your lineups, to fade those two. There is a path that one of those two, or both of those two, will not even touch the optimal lineup, right? There is this thing called pressure, and even good players feel it. And last time I checked, I'm not sure I'm ready to call Wyndham Clark a good player yet, okay? He's like above average, all right? Let's pump the brakes. I mean, he is a god, but that was only for a day until he does it again tomorrow. Okay, so there you go. Those are some strategies. Everything just updated. My soul just got crushed. I can feel the $4,000 entering my account, but you know what I'd rather be filling? A third ticket. Damn it. Hey, you want to know how I make all these lineups? Well, I use this thing right here called the Solver, which comes loaded with all of my projections, ownership, and round 1, round 2, round 3, round 4 showdown, and of course, week long. The best optimizer out there, which has made all my GPP winning lineups, almost my sixth one today, have came from this bad boy right here. Only costs $25 a month. The Solver. Make sure to use my landing page. You see that showdown hoedown symbol up there? Make sure to use that, and that will get you signed up, and then you will have access to all my projections, and you will have access to the best optimizer. If you ever have any questions, just hit me in the editor up over at dgen75.com, the fastest growing community in PGA DFS, and we have the best tool that you will ever use in PGA DFS called the Rosetta Stone, which is right here when it finally pops the fuck up, which has everything you need to know. What, this is how did I choose my lineup that almost won a ticket? Well, I just went and looked at this and I said, hey, you know what? Siwoo's going to do good tomorrow because look. And then I just go, look, oh shit, he's killing it. I'm going to play that asshole. And for 13 holes, he was a fucking champion. He was the champion I deserved. So if you're interested in that, come check out the website. And of course, oh shit, shut the fuck up me. Make sure to like and subscribe. It really helps. Me and the editor need it. We actually got our first sponsorship offer. It was not Topo Chico, so I told him to fuck off. You can't buy me. Okay. I mean, if you throw enough money, you can buy me, but it wasn't one I wanted. All right, round 4 scores that you might like. Here you go. Sahith Tagala, Corey Connors, Ropat, and short putter Mark Hubbard. All right, there you go. Some guys that I'm going to be playing tomorrow at Pick'em. I am definitely going to be looking for guys who are coming off of hot rounds, and I am going to be playing the over on their strokes, okay? Specifically, if they're not like a super elite like Xander, right? I just think that there's going to be a lot of bogeys out there tomorrow. The wind's going to be blowing. The course is going to be tough. They're going to put the pins in tough spots, so I will be playing the over on strokes. Yes, there'll be some holes where these guys will get their birdies, three or four birdies, but I would be taking the over on bogeys, and I'd be taking the over on strokes all day because there's going to be a lot of squares on that card tomorrow. That's how I'm going to play it. The less good the player is, the better. Okay. From there, what else do I have? I don't even know what that is. Oh, those are things I don't need to show you. I think that's it. Don't forget to come check out the schedule. We'll see you soon. I appreciate all of you that have been here. I'm sorry I couldn't win you a ticket. Terrell Hatton's a leprechaun SOB. We'll see you Monday for the course preview. In the meantime, let's check out this outro.